Good evening. Welcome to part 10 of Bishul B'Shabbos. Last week, we ended off with a very big chumrah. And just to demonstrate the vitality, first of all, welcome to all the new people who are here. You all know who you are, probably better than I do, but welcome. I do see a lot of new faces. Just to show the vitality and the liveliness of Torah, the gigantic chumrah that I ended last week's shiur with, I'm going to backtrack completely on everything that I said. So all the people who were here last week and not here this week, tell them that they have to listen to this week's shiur because the chumrah that I left off with, we're going to now say that it's okay. And you'll see why. Last week we talked about the halachos of leaving things on a flame on Friday afternoon, in Hebrew called shehiya, maintaining. And we saw that there are some times that you do need a blech, sometimes you don't need a blech. We said that according to Chachamim and the Shulchan Aruch, once you always need a blech, unless something is just, the more it cooks, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Mitztamik v'ralo. Other than that, if it's going to improve at all, even if it's fully cooked, you always have to have your foods on a blech. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, but we reminded ourselves that that's not the halacha. The halacha is like the Ramah. The Ramah says that how do we paskin? We paskin that once your food is Michael Ben Jusai, is half cooked, then you're already allowed to leave it on an open flame on Friday afternoon. So again, lehalacha, once your food is half cooked, 50% of the cooking time, normally takes 3 hours to boil a soup, now you had it on the flame Friday afternoon from 3 o'clock till 4:30 when Shabbos begins, you can leave it on an open flame without a blech. We talked at the very end of last week, we talked about a very common question that happens this time of the year on Short Shabbos. And you come home from work at 3:30, 4 o'clock you get the cholent in, and Shabbos starts at 4:30. So your cholent is not yet half cooked. And we said, even according to the lenient opinion, which we do paskin like, you do have to have at least half cooked food before Shabbos if you want to leave it on an open flame. So when we have a crock pot, the pot is sitting on the base of the crock pot, that's in essence, there's no fire there, but there's an open flame because the heat source, which is the base of the crock pot, is directly touching and directly underneath. Actually, it's not touching. Engineers figured out that it's better if there's a small layer of air between the base of the crock pot and the bottom of the crock pot, but there is nevertheless as direct a contact as you can have between the food and the heat source, which is the base of the crock pot. So if it's not cooked for half of the cooking time, which is, let's say, normal cooking for cholent, officially, not the way we do it, but officially should be 6 to 8 hours. That's the slow cooker cookbooks say. So 3 hours should be halfway. So if you put it up right when you got home from work before Shabbos, without a blech, how did we say, what's a blech for a crock pot? You line the interior area of the crock pot between the inner pot and the outer pot and the base, and you have the aluminum foil sort of sticking out from the top, protruding, so that it's nikar, it's recognizable, so you won't come, God forbid, to switch the dial, which is what the whole concern, midrabanan, is, that if you leave something on an open flame, or here, on an uncovered crock pot, you might come to adjust the temperature. So we said if you didn't line your crock pot, and it wasn't yet half cooked before Shabbos, when Shabbos came in, then you violated the isur d'rabanan of shehiya, of leaving something not half cooked on an open flame, and halacha is that you're not allowed to eat that food. That's right, the cholent is not kosher. That's how we ended off last week. And it was a big chumrah, because this is the kind of scenario, I know it happened to somebody in shul a few weeks ago, as the kind of scenario that for all of you who work or go to school on Fridays, especially this time of year, could really happen. That's how we left off last week, with that chumrah. But now, I'll explain to you why, even though halachically it works as being a chumrah, and really that food should be not kosher, that cholent should not be kosher, you're going to be allowed to eat it. Let's explain. First of all, what's the background for the fact that food that you left on an open fire is not going to be kosher, is going to be aser? So there we discussed it, but we didn't mention the citation. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Ches, talks about a concern midrabanan to prevent people from doing bishul. Let's say you do bishul. So if you know that you could eat it, so you say, okay, I have guests, I don't want to be embarrassed, so I'll get skila, not so terrible. I don't want to be embarrassed in front of my friends. So what did the rabbis do? They said, even if you cook, you're not going to be able to eat it. That was one level. Then they also said that we have this concern, midrabanan, of course, that we've been discussing for the past week and a half, of shehiyah. If you leave it on an open flame, you might come to play with the flame and stoke the coals. Also, that's going to be asur midrabanan if you did it on purpose. If you maintain something on an open flame on purpose, the Gemara said it's going to be asur to eat. And by the rabbi saying that it's asur to eat, obviously you're not going to end up doing it. But people are smart. Jews have been smart and always have been looking for loopholes for all of history. People would say, oh, I did it by mistake. Because the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan was only if you did it on purpose. So people would leave things on an open flame, uncooked food on an open flame, and they'd have a guest, and the guest would say, hey, you don't have a blech, why are you serving this? They say, oh, I forgot the blech this week. And Chazal realized that people were playing games. People were actually doing it on purpose and pretending and saying, oh, I forgot. So they added to their original Gzeirah D'Rabbanan and said that even if you leave something on an open flame, b'shogeg, by mistake, it's also going to be asertit. It's also going to be not kosher. And that's where we are now. We're in this second level of takana, that even if a person leaves it on an open flame by mistake, they forgot to put up the blech by mistake, it's going to be asur to eat. So therefore, again, applying that logic to our crockpot situation, once I leave my crockpot, that's not my chalent, that's not yet half-cooked, didn't reach Machal Ben Jisai before Shabbos, without that interior lining of the aluminum foil between the two pots, that should be asur to eat. So why are we going to be Makel? First of all, I saw when I was researching for a different series of shiurim that we had here about crockpots, there was an article in Yated Ne'eman a few years ago. When we talked about that discussion about crockpots, I think it was 2 years ago in this room at this time, Monday nights at 8:30, I told you that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's last tshuva before he died, and unfortunately because he died, he didn't have time to clarify it, was to say that there's some halachic issue with crockpots, which we're not going to talk about now. So in following with that discussion of crockpots, that sort of, you know, for the past 50 years, Jews in America have been using crockpots. All of a sudden about, Rav Shlomo Zalman died about 15 years ago. All of a sudden 15 years ago, after we've been using it for 35 years, Rav Shlomo Zalman said there's an issue, whatever that issue is, we're not talking about it now. So in the wake of that, Chumra of Rav Shlomo Zalman, there was a discussion about crockpots, and the Yated Ne'eman carried an article all about crockpot halachas. There, and I'm giving you the background because I never saw this inside, and this is the only source that I have. The Yated Ne'eman quotes Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg Zatzal. Some of you, maybe when you're in seminary, got a bracha from him in Mattersdorf, the person who wore 70 pairs of tzitzis, tremendous tzaddik from around here, from somewhere in New York. Then he made Aliyah. So Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg had his following svara. He said, look at a crock pot. Is there an open flame? We say you're not allowed to leave a pot on an open flame. Well, if you look at a crock pot, is there an open flame? What's the heat source in a crock pot?
The walls.
The walls? Say better. What's the heat source in a crock pot? Electricity is the source of the coils. The coils, the heating elements that's behind the walls. So therefore, based on that, if you have the heat source, which is the coils behind the walls, the heat element, then you have a wall. Hey, the wall itself is the blech. So that's Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg's kula that we could apply to crockpots. According to this logic, again, he might have been talking about something else, but I'm using the logic that I saw that he said about something else to apply it to be matir. Crockpots, certainly, I'm still suggesting you should put a blech, you should put aluminum foil, but b'diavad, if you didn't, could we allow you to eat the food? So I'm trying to give you some reasons why maybe we could allow you to eat the food. First of all, this svara, this little piece of logic, that maybe the walls of the crockpot, of the base of the crockpot itself, that's covering over the heating elements, that's covering over the coils, that itself might be a blech, that's covering over the heat source. It's not an open flame, it's an enclosed, covered over flame. That's Svar L'Hakel, number one. Secondly, this is the main one, there's a rule that's fundamental that applies in a lot of different areas in Hilchos Shabbos, and we'll apply it to here. First, I'll tell you the rule. Whenever you do something on Shabbos, And it's also b'di'eved, meaning if you did it, you're not allowed to benefit from it. You're not allowed to eat the food that you cooked. Let's say you cooked on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to eat the food. Here, if you maintain something on a flame, on an open flame, you're not allowed to even if you did a pishogeg. And all kinds of other scenarios that you did something wrong on Shabbos, the rule is as follows. If there was anybody, any valid halachic source that would permit you to do what you did, even if we don't really paskin like it, but if there's some opinion, some big rabbi who has broad shoulders, a Rishon, an Acharon, one of the big poskim, who says that you're allowed to do whatever you did, even if we don't paskin like that, lechatchila, nevertheless, if you did it already, we're not going to say, oh, you can't eat that food. Because you can always claim, I hold like that unique, da'as yachid, that lone voice among all the poskim who says that it's mutter, so I go like him. That's why I did it. And therefore, if you did something wrong against 99% of the poskim, but there's 1% of the poskim who said what you did is okay, it will always be mutter to derive benefit from that wrong thing that you did. So, coming back to our situation, there is one opinion, the opinion of the Eliyahu Rabbah. The Eliyahu Rabbah, he's one of the Achronim on Shulchan Aruch, and on Hilchos Shabbos, he says the following: when do we want to have a crock pot? For Friday night or for Shabbos lunch? For lunch. I woke up in the middle of the night this past Friday night. Well, actually, I fell asleep with my son on Friday night, and I woke up at 2 in the morning. So I never finished cleaning up the Shabbos table. So I finished cleaning up the Shabbos table at about 2 to 2:30. And then around 2:30, I had my Friday night shalom. Usually I have it at like 11, but I missed it. So at 2:30 in the morning, I was flacious, so I woke up. Pretty funny. So we have our Shabbos, we have our challenge for Shabbos lunch, not Friday night. Now listen to the following Sephara. We're going to talk later about something called Kedera Chaisa, which I'll explain later in about 20 minutes. But there's a leniency that if something is planned to be used for Shabbos lunch, we're not worried that you're going to play with the coals. Why? Because it's going to get cooked anyway. You don't have to play with the coals. So now let's think for a moment. What's the whole reason I need a blech? What's the whole reason the Chazal said Shehiya is Aser? It's because you might come to stoke the coals. Well, if it's for Shabbos lunch anyway, says the Eliyahu Rabbah, you're not going to stoke the coals because there's no need to stoke the coals. I understand you want to stoke the coals because you want to get it ready in an hour, in 2 hours, in 3 hours, fine. But if something is going to be on a flame in a crock pot for 12 more hours, for 14 more hours, I don't need to stoke anything. It's going to get cooked by itself just by virtue of the fact that it's on the heat for so long, even if it's not a high heat. Even if I'd rather, poke the coals to get it hotter, if I know it's for lunch and it's not going to be eaten for another dozen hours, I don't need to stoke the coals. And therefore, there's no reason for the gzeira derabbanan that you have to have a blech shema yechata lest you stoke the coals. There's no chash you're going to be stoke the coals because it's for lunch. It's so far away. It's going to cook by itself. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that you always do need to cover the flame, even if it is for Shabbos lunch. However, based on the rule that I told you 2 minutes ago, that whenever there's one opinion, even if we don't paskin like him, who would allow you to do something, even though all the poskim say you can't, but if you did that one poskim allows you to do, it will always be mutter b'di'evet. Meaning, if you did do it, you're a bad boy, you're a bad girl, and you violated what the majority of the poskim said, and normally we should put a knas on you, a fine on you, not to benefit from that wrong thing that you did. Here, since there's the Eliyahu Rabbah, there's that lone opinion on which you can rely that you, oh, I did it like him, even if you never heard of the Eliyahu Rabbah. So still, the fact that there's somebody who allowed it, that will make it mutter b'di'evet. So let's come back to our shayla. Our shayla was, guy came over to me right over here a few weeks ago and said, Rabbi, I got home from work at 4 o'clock, I put up the challenge at 4:15, I ran to shul, ran to mincha at 4:25, and I didn't have any aluminum foil. So theoretically, what would I tell him? You violated the halachas of Shehiya. You left your crock pot on an open flame. Again, not Rav Scheinberg might permit it because he doesn't consider an open flame, but I don't think that's a commonly accepted opinion. So you left your crock pot on an open flame. That theoretically, even though you did it by mistake, you weren't a bad person, you just did it by mistake. Theoretically, that should still be asur because you violated the issur d'rabbanan of Shehiya. You left your crock pot on open flame and it wasn't half cooked yet when Shabbos came in. So I should tell him, oh, you're not allowed to eat it. What will he say? But wait a second, Rabbi Orlian. Isn't there this opinion of the Elia Rava? I know we don't paskin like him, but isn't there this opinion who says that I was allowed to do it because it was for lunch? It was a crock pot for lunch? Oh, if that's the case, David, then since it's for lunch, you will be allowed to eat it. Why? Because according to 90% of the poskim, you did something wrong. But according to that one opinion, the Elia Rava, you didn't do something wrong. So, bidzi eved, if you want to know if the food is still kosher, yes, the food is kosher, because you can rely on that one opinion, bidzi eved. So that's backtracking on everything I said in the end of last week's shiur. Last week's shiur, I came with the chumrah, and now I'm saying that it will be mutter as long as it's for Shabbos lunch. If, however, you left it, you were having a crock pot for, like me, let's say, you're having a crock pot for your 11 o'clock, your Friday night tish or something, or you're going to have a get-together, an oneg, with the girls at 10:30 or 11 o'clock on Friday night, then if you did not line your crock pot with aluminum foil, you did not put up a blech, then it will be asur, even b'dieved, the challenge will not be kosher, and it is even a question if you have to kasher the crock pot itself, because of the non-kosher food that's in it, non-kosher because you violated the Isser D'Rabbanan of Shehiya, of maintaining it on a flame, even B'Shogeg. Any questions on the Heter that we just gave? On the backtrack from last week? Question? No question? Okay, yes, I think it's the Rashba who says that the pot might be not kosher. Yes? I don't remember what the halacha is. I remember there is discussion, there is at least one opinion who says that if you did do shehiyah, even midrabanan, and the food is therefore not edible because you violated shehiyah, that non-edibility of the food, also meaning that non-kosherness of the food, is absorbed into the pot like any other food that you can't eat. And there's a question if you have to catch the crock pot. If somebody reminds, sends me a text this week or an email this week, I'll try to look up that aspect. And I'll tell you next week if you could, what the deal is. Crockpots are actually problematic because you can't kosher crockpots. It's not a metal pot. It's like earthenware, which is not kosherable. So there, it's a real b'dieved situation, so it might be more tzedadim lahakel, but somebody could email me or text me next week. Okay, so you want to be l'chatchil. You want to follow halacha. So, Rabbi, what time do I have to make sure I tell my, you know, I have to tell my boss I have to be home before sunset. Now I have to tell my boss a whole new thing. Mr., you know, boss, you don't understand, I have to have my meat stew half cooked by the time the sun sets. Go explain that one. Okay, Baruch Hashem, crock pots can be put up Friday morning before you go to work. So, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Kedera Chaisa. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Lehalacha, no, it doesn't make a difference. So, what you want to know what you should do? Very simply, line your pot with crap with aluminum foil. That's a blech. You line it with aluminum foil, that's a blech. And therefore, Mekar Hadin, you could leave even a raw, or a partially raw, even if it's before Machal Ben Jersai, you could leave that crockpot on. I suggest to everybody, in all circumstances, to always use a blech. Because there's going to be that one time that you forget, or you didn't, or you were late, or whatever, and you might find yourself in trouble. So always use a blech, whether it's on a stovetop, whether it's on a crock pot, wherever you could use a blech, even if your food is half-cooked. And I'll add, because l'chadchila, we're machmir, not just if the food is half-cooked, we're machmir l'chadchila, that as long as the food is still improving by the additional heat that it's getting, we're machmir for that other opinion that the Shulchan Aruch paskin like. The machmir for the opinion that the Shulchan Aruch is machmir for, we Ashkenazim, Father Ramah, and Ramekel, once it's half cooked, you don't need a blech. But the Mishnah Berurah suggests that we should be machmir to always use a blech as long as the food is improving. There's no question that a challenge, even if it's fully cooked, still gets softer and softer and softer and better and better and better the longer it cooks. And therefore, lechatchil, you should always have a blech. Meikar Hadin, you were yotzei the halachos if the chant reached half cooking before Shabbos.
You said about Rav Scheinberg, that Rav Scheinberg says that the law is being a blech. So if you wanted it Friday night, then why can't you hold, say like that? I mean, unless that's not necessarily necessary.
I don't think Rosh Scheinberg said that something is blocked. If the heating elements behind the walls are blocked by the wall of the crock pot, that's already considered a wall. We don't pass like, you know, I think that's a das yachid.
So
the chachila, we would not rely on that. It might be something to rely upon b'di'evad, perhaps.
No, I'm saying.
Yeah, perhaps b'di'evad, one might be able to rely on that opinion also. But again, I prefaced with, I never saw this inside, I never saw it in Sefer, I saw it in an article in the Etan Ne'eman quoting him. Maybe it was a verbal psak, maybe the psak never happened, I don't know. That's why I wanted to give you the context. Yes. No, absolutely not. Putting beads of aluminum foil or marbles of aluminum foil is not going to be a blech. The reason is, and this is a very important point, thank you, the whole purpose of a blech is to provide a visual, recognizable heker, identifying force, to make you not do something by mistake. I mean, if I reach my hands to do something and I'm like, oh, I didn't realize. When do you stoke the coals? Not because you want to be a big, you know, chote and, you know, violate an issa d'oraisa. It's just, you're looking at the child and like, oh my gosh, the guests are coming and it's not cooked yet. You're just going to forget yourself for a moment. So you need something visual that reminds you not to forget yourself at that moment that you might forget. So therefore, it has to be a visual indication. The marbles of aluminum foil underneath the crock pot are covered over. You can't see them. That's why I said not only do you need the aluminum foil to line the interior of the crock pot, but it also has to be protruding outside between the two pots, protruding out, so that you could see the aluminum foil. Why do you have those? Why do we have those marbles? That's going to be a discussion, not of the next topic that we're going to start for the next week or two, probably the third week from now. That's a different discussion. That's a discussion that has to do with Reb Shlomo Zalman's Orbach's last tshuva before he died about crockpots. By the way, I talked about this at a mishmar, one of the Thursday night mishmar for the men, about, you know, the blech for a crockpot, and that was Thursday night. Friday afternoon, I get a text message, a media message from one of the young men who attended the shir with a picture of his crockpot with so much aluminum foil flying all over the place. It made me sesh up so much nachas. Excuse me. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'dvaro. Yeah. Lichat chila, since chum continually improves, it's mitztamik v'yafalo, you should have a blech, yes. Therefore, I urge you, under all circumstances, to always have a blech, and to always line your chalim pot. That is what the din, lichat chila, would require. It is more lechatchila to have it reach Machal Ben Jusai before Shabbos, yes.
Even though you have
a blech, it is more lechatchila. But sometimes if you get home from work, you don't have that luxury. And therefore you could still be makeup with a blech, which we'll discuss in a minute, in about 2 minutes. Any more questions about this point? It's very important. Yeah. The blech for a crock pot is aluminum foil that would basically line the interior of the base, and you put the pot with the chant on top of that aluminum foil. And out of the top, protruding between those two, you have aluminum foil sticking out.
Just so you see it? It's
yes.
It needs to cover,
No, we'll talk about knobs in a 20 seconds. Before we talk about covering knobs, which is the next topic. What happens if you come home from shul Friday night, or better yet, you are in the middle of Kabbalah Shabbos or Maariv, and you remember, oh my gosh, I put up food on Friday afternoon that did not yet reach half cooking, Machal Ben Jusai, And I'm violating right now the Isser Shehiyah. I forgot to put up the blech. I forgot to line my crock pot, and I put on my crock pot right before Mincha. So I'm violating the Isser Drabanan. What do you do? There's an opinion that says that if you don't do what I'm about to tell you, you'll still be able to eat it tomorrow for lunch. But what should you do if this actually does happen to you? The halacha is you have to take that crock pot off the... Take it off. Take the pot off the flame. Take the crock pot out of the crock pot. Why? Because every second that you leave it there, you're violating the Isser D'Rabbanan of maintaining, of Shehiyah, of maintaining food on an open flame or an open crock pot. And we're concerned, and there's a chashta about the concern about that you might come to adjust the flame or stoke the, you know, the whatever the modern day coals are. And therefore you'd have to take it off. And what are you going to be left with? You're going to be left with uncooked food. Could you just put a blech down? Yeah, you're allowed to put a blech down on Shabbos. We'll talk about that in a few minutes also. Could you just put a blech down and, you know, lift up the pot. I have pre-cut aluminum foil, right? So I got, you know, those Kirkland, by the way, very important thing to know. Kirkland has a wonderful Costco, has a wonderful box of 500 sheets of pre-cut aluminum foil. You know when you go to the pizza store and you take your pizza to go, they wrap aluminum foil with those pre-cuts? So you could go to Costco and get 500 pre-cuts. I think I got it when I'm married. When I moved to the Heights, that's 7 years ago, actually, and we're still working on our way down. I have bad news. The pre-cuts are not pre-cut. The edges of the pre-cuts, the corner, they're still attached. So cut your pre-cuts before Shabbos if you have the pre-cuts. So anyway, I have pre-cut aluminum foil. I mean, just check. Maybe yours aren't. Maybe it's just mine. I don't know. Ophira, it's okay. it could be that maybe because I'm on the bottom of my box, maybe the bottom of my box, I don't know, there's more pressure and they didn't cut as well. Okay, so I have pre-cut aluminum foil. So could I just... Oh my gosh, I'm in the middle of shul. I realized that I left my crock pot without lining it inside, and I put it up right before Shabbos, before it had a chance to reach Machal Ben Jusai. I come home quickly, lift it up. I'll, with my other hand, or my other two hands, I'll take that pre-cut aluminum foil, line the crock pot now, which is okay, I can make a blech on Shabbos, that's mutter. And then I'll quickly return this crock pot back where it was. Theoretically, that should work. However, we're going to learn next week that you're only allowed to return something to a fire if it's already mvushal kol tzarko, if it's completely cooked. Now, just work out the math with me. If you put it up right before Shabbos, 20 minutes before Mincha, and now you're coming home after Maariv an hour later, it's probably not even machal ben jusai by the time you get home from shul. It's probably not fully cooked by the time you get home from shul. So you are obligated to take it off, and you're not permitted to put it back, even if you do put a blech on the surface, so you are in trouble. You have to remove the crock pot and leave it off, and you're not going to have chance for Shabbos, I'm sorry. Not only that, but you're also going to have to violate the Isser of Muktzah. What's the Isser of Muktzah? Raw food is Muktzah, that's right. If you have raw beans are Muktzah. Raw meat is Muktzah. Raw potatoes are Muktzah. They're unedible as they are, and therefore they're going to. And we said that they're probably not machal ben jusai. Maybe once it's machal ben jusai, it won't be muktzah. But if it's still raw, it's muktzah. But now, right now, I think the Chazish talks about this paradox. On one hand, if I leave it where it is, I'm violating the isser of maintaining something on an open flame, so I have to get it off. But if I get it off, I'm lifting up a pot that's muktzah. It has raw foods in it. So what should I do? Should I violate shehiyah midrabanan or should I violate muktzah midrabanan? Could you take it off of the shino? Yes, if you want to lift up the crock pot with your elbows, that might be painful. Not for your elbows, for your toes. Yes, if you figure out how to lift it up, kila'achar yad, maybe if you grab one handle of the crock pot with your teeth and your roommate is kind enough to grab the other handle of the crock pot with her teeth and you each, you know, together lift up with your teeth, and somehow manage to get it somewhere without it splattering all over the floor. If you could work that out, that will solve the problem of muktzah, yes. At least according to those who allow moving muktzah like that, the Chazanish doesn't, but we're making it like the Mishnah Berurah usually. So what should I do? Should I leave it there and not move the muktzah, or should I take it away and violate muktzah, but save myself from violating the Isser Shi of maintaining this thing on an open flyer? So here I saw a beautiful svara that said the following. how many times are you violating the Isser of Muktzah by taking this pot out? Once. Snap of a second, you take it out, you violated Muktzah. But as long as you leave that crock pot on that open flame or that open that uncovered crock pot base, every moment you're continuing and continuing and continually violating the Isser Drabanan of Shehiyah. And therefore, it's better to violate the Isser of Muktzah one time than to continually violate the Isser of Shehiyah Midrabanan. Okay. We finished this. Yeah, we didn't finish the discussion. It's hard not to think about things. For example, Aliza, I think you might have heard this before. You're a psychologist, and I'm sure you've done studies on this. Could you do me a favor and don't think about a pink elephant from now to the end of Shir? It's like when my daughter tells me, but Abba, I don't know how to go to sleep. So you can't tell her, okay, just try to go to sleep. I tell her, okay, don't go to sleep. Try as hard as you can not to go to sleep. Then she'll go to sleep. But if you try to go to sleep, it doesn't work like that. So if you realize that you did it, you're not going to be able to forget about having done it, because then you're going to be thinking about it the whole time. If at lunch, right, the shiloh that I got, exactly, when you realize Shabbos morning in shul, oh my gosh, I forgot to line my challan pot, then the answer is you could enjoy it Shabbos lunch because you have someone to realize. But if you realize Friday night, you're not yet in a b'diavad situation, you still are violating the Isser Shia as you go, you have to take it off. But you're making a good point. When the guy realized Friday, Shabbos morning, that he left his challan pot without lining it, right when he gets home, he should probably take it off the flame right away. That's an excellent point. He shouldn't wait till he makes kiddush and, you know, washes, says hamotzi, has his challah, has his, you know, salad, first course, gefilte fish, cantaloupe. He should probably take the chant pot right off, make kiddush, hamotzi, and have his chant. Gefilte fish is great for dessert, right? Yes. Anyway, yes. If you left it, if when Shabbos came in, it was not yet half cooked, you violated the Isser Shehiyah and you should take it off. Even if now it already got to the half point, that's something I have to clarify. It's an excellent question. If, let's say, when Shabbos came in, it was not half cooked, but by the time you get home Friday night after Kabbalah Shabbos and Maariv, it is already half cooked, so at this point, I'm allowed to leave it on the flame. We're not worried about stoking. That's something I have to look up. I don't know the answer. I mean, you violated it when Shabbos came in, but right now you're not violating it anymore because it's already half cooked. When you remember Friday after shul. That I don't know the answer to. Excellent question. Okay, let's go to the next discussion because it's very important and very halach l'maisa. Covering knobs. So, Rabbi, I just moved into the Heights, and I know there's this thing, you need a blech, so I got myself a blech. Do I have to also cover the knobs? What's the answer? Let's try this other room. What's the answer? Do you have to cover the knobs? Machlokas, yes, okay. No, it is not a machlokas. Everybody agrees you do not have to cover the knobs. You're only obligated to cover the heat source. Of course, the source for this kula of using a blech is a mishnah. The mishnah says in the olden days you used to sprinkle, either remove the coals, rake the coals to the side, or what we are trying to imitate, sprinkling some ashes on top of the coals. So instead of sprinkling ashes, we put a tin plate, the blech. That's all you have to do. You are not obligated to cover the knobs. Lichat chila, you should also cover the knobs. Lichat chila, you should also cover the knobs. No, you are not obligated to cover the knobs. Now, let's talk about the opposite side of the equation. Rabbi, I don't have a blech. I just moved into the Heights. Can I just cover my knobs? Meaning, we just talked about if you're covering the flame with a blech, you don't need to cover your knobs. Now I'm asking the opposite. Could I only cover the knobs? Is that sufficient? Because after all, the whole chash is shema yechate b'gecholim. Maybe I'll stoke the coals, or with my stovetops, maybe I'll adjust the flame, I'll raise the flame. That's the whole concern. So if I covered if I made that heker, that recognizable visual, reminder, not to adjust the flame, so I solved the problem, didn't I, Rabbi? Well, that's what Rav Aaron Cutler says. Rav Aaron Cutler says exactly the logic that we just presented, that the whole concern is you're going to adjust it. Well, if you have the heker, you have the recognizable reminder on the handles, you're not going to make the mistake and adjust the flame. So covering the knobs are fine. But the problem is, we don't paskin like Rav Aaron Cutler. All the other poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein included, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Or HaChaim Chelek Aleph, Sadi Gimel, I have written down Sadi Gimel, but I thought it might be Ayin Dalid. No, maybe Sadi Gimel. And all the other poskim reject Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler was, of course, the Rosh Hashiva of Lakewood, whose 50th Yahrzeit was like last week, I think. And all the other poskim say covering the knobs is not sufficient. Why not? The logic is so sound. It's such a firm logic. The whole concern is that I might stoke the coals or adjust the flame. I can't adjust it. Or I'm going to be reminded not to adjust it. Listen carefully. Really, you're not allowed to leave things on a fire. The Mishnah came and taught you a kula. The leniency, the Mishnah said, is that if you cover the coals, it's mutter. So now, we don't have coals. We want to imitate that Mishnah. So we have to imitate the Mishnah the way the Mishnah presented itself. Covering the coals, covering the heat source. I, in my high intelligence, was able to figure out another way not to adjust the flame. Yeah, that's very nice, but that's not following the kula that the Mishnah provided for you. The Mishnah provided for you a kula called covering the coals with something. So the extent that will be matir for you, that will permit you to do, is if you do that same thing, cover the coals or the heat source. And therefore, that's what the other poskim say, the way we paskin, is that you do have to cover the actual flame, cover the heat source, cover the element, whatever it might be that you're covering, and it will not be sufficient to cover the knobs. But again, l'chatchila, it is better to, yes, cover the knobs as well. Let's say you're in Kentucky on vacation, or you're in the Poconos on vacation, and you're there for Shabbos, and you brought all your stuff, and you have some aluminum foil, and then, oh my gosh, I forgot to bring a blech. And Friday afternoon I was skiing until 20 minutes before Shabbos, because if you're paying $80 for a ski ticket, you're not going to come back at 2:30 to put up your child. So you put up your child, you go skiing, you come back at, you don't go skiing in Kentucky, you go skiing in the Poconos or Vermont. In Kentucky, you look at like cows. Anyone here from Kentucky? Baruch Hashem. I apologize if there's anyone listening to this shiur from Kentucky. I know I'm going to get a phone call. An email. I'm going to get an email in like a week. I have to be more careful. So I get back from the ski slopes 20 minutes before Shabbos. I want to put up my challenge. I have all the ingredients. I thought ahead. I have my kosher pots. I have everything I need. I didn't bring a blech with me. I have some aluminum foil. Can I just cover the knobs? So here, I heard last week in a shiur from Shefta that b'shas adchak, meaning you're in a situation that you're stuck. You don't have the other option. You can be maker like Aaron Cutler and just cover the knobs. So next time you find yourself skiing in Vermont on Friday afternoon, you know that you have Aaron Cutler to rely upon. I hear your question. That was the question that was asked before, that if you violated Shia when Shabbos began, but now you're going to prevent yourself from violating Shia, will that help? I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying. It's a good point to have to think about it. Okay. Now I mentioned earlier the idea that you are theoretically, again, we're talking about blechs this Shia, so can you put on a blech on Shabbos? When does that apply? Let's talk about a case where you did not violate Shehiyah. It was half cooked before Shabbos, and therefore maybe it was even fully cooked before Shabbos, and you left it on the fire. And now Friday night you want to have a little, and you left it on an open fire because once it's half cooked, you don't have to have any aluminum foil or any blech. So you had it half cooked. You put it up at 2:00. You put it up at 1:00, so it cooked for 3.5 hours before Shabbos came, 4 hours before Shabbos came. So you could leave it on that open fire, on that unlined crock pot. Now it's 11:00 Friday night, I want to have my challant. And of course put it back so everybody else could have it, Shabbos lunch. So I take out my challant, I taste it, and it's delicious, and now I'm about to put my challah back on the crock pot, and I realize, uh-oh, we're going to learn next week that whenever I want to do chazara, return a crock pot, or return a pot to the fire, I'm only allowed to do it if there are five conditions, which we'll learn next week. One of them is that the fire's covered. There's a blech. In other words, you need a blech not just for the issue that we've been discussing for the past week and a half, that of shahiyah, of maintaining something Friday afternoon, but also for the what we'll talk about next week, for chazara, for returning the pot onto the fire. So I'm stuck. Am I going to be able to put this crock pot back? Or better yet, I realize this ahead of time, am I going to be able to cheat on Friday night and take the challenge off so that I can have some challenge? If I know I'm not going to be able to return it because there's no blech, well, here we have my pre-cut aluminum foil, and the halacha is that you are permitted to make a blech on Shabbos. So I'm going to take out the challenge, I'll hold it, somebody else, or with my third or fourth hand, I will line the interior of my crock pot with my aluminum foil. Now there's a blech there. When was it put on? Friday night at around 10:59, so I could have my 11 o'clock challenge. Now there's a blech. I could put my crock pot back, as we'll learn next week, and I made a blech on Shabbos. It's interesting to know that, does anyone remember, this is the 10th week that we're in Hilchas Bishul B'Shabbos. Was anyone here on the first week? Okay, a handful of you were here on the first week. Do you remember if the halachas of Bishul apply only to food or even to non-food items? Does Bishul apply to metal? So we quoted a Rambam the very first week of Hilchas Bishul, that Bishul does apply to metal. Yes, if you make metal glow, you put it in a fire, make it red hot, forget about doing any playing with fire. Making the metal glow, or certainly melt, is an issur d'oraisa of cooking, Bishul. Bishul applies not only to foods, but also to non-food items. So obviously, if you're going to put a blech on Shabbos and you have some kind of metal, most of the metals that we have are fat, they're either alloys or they're purified so that they aren't going to get red hot. But in the olden days, when they had metals that were not as sophisticated as the metals that we use today, then metals will also often get red hot if you put it in a flame. I mean, obviously, if you have a very hot flame, even nowadays, if it's there long enough, it will get red hot. So if you do want to put a blech on Shabbos, you do have to, of course, be careful that whatever metal you're going to place on top of the heating element or the flames will not start to glow, because then, great, you allowed yourself to do a chazara midrabanan by making sure there's a blech. Yeah, but you violate an issur d'oraisa of making metal get red hot on Shabbos, so of course, you're not going to do that. There's one opinion of the Chazon Ish who says that even if you don't heat up metal till it glows red hot, even if you heat up metal just a little bit to get into Yas Ledes Bo, which any blech will get that hot if you're putting it on top of a fire or on top of a heating element, that already is considered Bishul of the metal. That's what the Chazon Ish says. So according to the Chazon Ish, you would not be able to put a blech on Shabbos. We do not paskin like the Chazon Ish. We don't hold from that chumrah, and most of the posts can reject that and say that as long as it doesn't glow, you are permitted to place a blech on Shabbos. We're now going to get to probably the most important discussion. Everything that I said now is to lead up to the following point. Okay, so you moved into Washington Heights and you got yourself a plata, a hot plate. Do you have to, could you leave things on the hot plate? Do they have to be fully cooked? Do you have to line the hot plate? Do you have to put a blech on the hot plate? That's what we're going to discuss right now. There are two kinds of hot plates in the world, certainly from a halachic perspective. Adjustable hot plates and not adjustable hot plates. And they are very different. Let's talk about the one that I have. I have a non-adjustable hot plate. I urge you all to also purchase non-adjustable hot plates for the following reason. If it's not adjustable, what do we not have to be concerned about? Stoking the coals, adjusting it. Because of the whole concern, the whole gzeira d'rabbanan of shehiyah, shami yechateh b'galchalim, I might stoke the coals, I might adjust the flame, I might raise the flame. If there's nothing to raise, there's nothing to be worried about. And that's how most posts can assume. Most posts can say that if you have a hot plate that's not adjustable, you could leave stuff on that Friday afternoon, even if they have not yet reached Machal Ben Jusai. Normally we say, oh, if you want to leave something on an open flame, it has to at least be half-cooked. L'chatchil, it has to be, you should always use a blech. But that's only because we're worried. You might stoke the coals, you might adjust something. But if it's not adjustable, there's nothing to be worried about. And therefore, halach l'maisa, if you have a non-adjustable hot plate, you do not have to cover it. It is true that Rabbi Yashiv holds that even non-adjustable hot plates, you have to cover, because he holds, there's a gzera of having a blech, a gzera shem yechata. So we always, rabbis set things up in rules, without getting into the nitty-gritty, does it apply here, does it not apply there? That's called low plug. No distinctions. Rabbis apply, when they make a takan to rabban, it applies across the board. That's what Rabbi Yashiv says, and therefore he says you do need a blech, and therefore you have to have some kind of, not just regular aluminum foil, according to Rabbi Yashiv, because how do you put, people put aluminum foil not as a recognizable reminder, but as just to keep it clean. So what's the reason why? So Rabbi Yashiv suggests lining with heavy-duty aluminum foil. Oh, why are you doing heavy-duty? Not to keep it clean. Oh, as a blech, fine. We, most poskim, are not machmir for Rabbi Yashiv. Most poskim assume that a non-adjustable hot plate, you can, shehiyah is permitted, you can leave foods even if they are not yet cooked properly, even if they have not even reached Machal Ben Jusai, you will be permitted to leave foods on them on Friday afternoon. Any questions about that? That's very important to halach l'maisa. So you do not have to line your non-adjustable shahat plate. That's what we're saying. Yes. Mi'ikr hadin, you do not have to line it even if it is not cooked. Even if it is not cooked. Because it is already considered, it is considered as though it has a blech. That's right. Yeah. Right, what you're talking about is if you want to put something on Shabbos onto the hot plate, that we're going to talk about next week, actually probably in 2 weeks. Right now I'm only talking about leaving foods there on Friday afternoon, Shehiyah. What to do on Shabbos, could I take something from the fridge and put it on the hot plate, a liquid, a solid, we're going to introduce it next week and talk about it probably in 2 weeks. Now I'm only talking about leaving foods there on Friday afternoon, can I leave food there without a blech? Or do I need a blech? The answer is it's not an adjustable hot plate. You do not need a blech. You do not have to line it with aluminum foil. Yes?
Is this for foods that are not fully cooked?
I think it's for all foods. Even if the foods are not only fully cooked, but even if they're not even half cooked. Okay? Now let's talk about the other type of hot plate. An adjustable hot plate. Well, we have to be worried. You might stoke the coals. Similarly, you might adjust the hot plate. So you will, of course, need a blech. And therefore, you have to have some kind of reminder, visual reminder on the hot plate, on the adjustable hot plate, that you don't come to forget yourself and adjust the temperature. So, according to the logic that I mentioned earlier from Rabbi Yashiv, that there's no point using just regular aluminum foil because you might just put it there for keeping the surface clean, not for a reminder not to adjust the flame. So according to that, you should probably put down heavy-duty aluminum foil. But the Shabbos kitchen, Rav Simcha Benim Kohn, writes that it is sufficient to use regular aluminum foil. And I was speaking with Rav Shechter this afternoon. He said, when you put down that aluminum foil, don't just cover it as though you're keeping your hot plate clean, your adjustable hot plate clean. Let it, stick out a lot from the sides, like something looks fishy, something looks funny, something looks different, because that's the whole point of a blech. The point of a blech is you want things to look different. So put aluminum foil and let it, stick out. You could have a lot of fun with that. But yes, let it stick out. Let it not be a neat, cover cutting, exactly to the dimensions of the hot plate. No. Cut it in a way that it'll go over the sides, it'll stick out. Let it be a real heck, a real visual reminder that you're not going to come to, God forbid, adjust the hot plate. L'chatchila, like we mentioned by a stove, which you should cover the knobs l'chatchila, so too, an adjustable hot plate. Similarly, you should cover the knob on the adjustable hot plate. Let's finish off with one or two more points. Two more applications of these halachos. Let's say you have an urn. Yes, question.
Is this just for foods that aren't fully cooked?
Once you have a blech, then You can. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that probably the very first thing next week. Okay. But halach lamaisa, you can. Halach lamaisa, you're allowed even foods that are not cooked. They're not fully cooked. They're not even half cooked. You can. If you have once you have a blech, the Shulchan Aruch says once there's a blech, maker, then you're allowed to put whatever you want on it. But we'll talk about it more. There is more to talk about it. That will be the beginning of next week. If you have foods that are fully cooked or even half cooked, mi'ikar hadin, you could leave it on an uncovered open flame. Even if a hot plate is adjustable, once it's half cooked, mi'ikar hadin, you can leave it on. L'chatchila, we learned last week, you should still cover it until it's. As long as the food is improving, you should always l'chatchila cover it. But mi'ikar hadin, once it's half cooked, you don't have to cover it. Once it's half cooked. So I'll just finish off with 2 points. If you have an adjustable urn, let's say there's a hot water urn that has different settings. Okay, so it's adjustable. Let me put on a blech. How are you going to put on a blech? You're going to cover the heating element? The heating element is inside the coils that are inside the body, the belly of the urn. There's nothing to cover. So you don't have an opportunity to use a blech. So therefore, you have to make sure that your adjustable urn is set up on Friday afternoon in a way that doesn't need a blech, which means that it already reached, the food is already cooked. Meaning, if you have an urn that is adjustable, you have to make sure that your water is boiled before Shabbos, and it still remains very hot. That's in terms of adjustable urn. Finally, let's just do one last point. What about, until now we were talking about shehiya on a stovetop, maintaining foods Friday afternoon on a stovetop, shehiya on a crock pot, shehiya in an urn. What about leaving foods inside the oven? So what I do often is I cook foods Friday afternoon or I warm them up Friday afternoon. I leave it in the oven. I turn it off and I leave it in the cleared out in the oven that's off. And then I come home from shul an hour and a quarter later. It's not piping hot, but it's still sufficiently hot. And that's a great thing to do if you don't have a hot plate, if you don't want to leave a hot plate on all Shabbos, you don't have a Shabbos timer, so you don't feel bad, especially during the summer, you don't want to leave a hot plate on for so many hours, or you're worried about the electricity bill. So leave it in your oven Friday afternoon, turn it off, leave it there, it'll stay warm. But let's say you want to have your food piping hot. Could you just leave your food in the oven with the oven on? Well, that's the question that we've been discussing for the past week and a half. Now it's 2 weeks at the end of this year. You're leaving food on an open flame because the oven has not been covered. You haven't covered the flame in the oven. You're leaving food on a flame. So this is going to follow all the halachas of shehiya. If lichatchila, you have to cover the flame, which is going to be difficult. We'll talk about how to do that in a minute. Mi'ikar hadin, once the food is half cooked, as Macha ben Shasai, you will be able to leave it in the oven that's on. But wait a second. An oven that's on, you're never even able to open a door on Shabbos. Why not? Basically, you can never use ovens on Shabbos because all of our ovens have thermostats. You set your oven to 350, right? Or let's say you're for reheating 275. Well, when you open the door, what happens? Cool air rushes in. The air in the oven goes down to 240, 250. The oven's thermostat says, oh, I better warm it up, and turns on the ignition. Lights the pyro light lights, or and now it turns on the fire. So when you were opening the door, what happened? You caused, either directly or indirectly, you caused the fire to go on, to go back on. So you're never able to open an oven on Shabbos. Let's say you say, Rabbi, I broke the thermostat. Or I have some kind of oven that doesn't have a thermostat, or some kind of mode that some ovens might have that there's no thermostat action. So I'm not worried that if I open the door, the flame's going to go on. So could I just leave my food in there? Well, the answer is, again, mi'ikar hadin, once it's half-cooked, yes, you can. But if it's not half-cooked, or l'chatchila, you always have to have a blech. How do you have a blech inside an oven? And we'll finish with this. A blech for inside an oven would have to be a tin box. Not just a tin plate, not just a flat, two-dimensional object, but a three-dimensional cubed box that surrounds the foods inside on all five, I guess. The front is probably open for the door. And then all five sides The four sides on the back have to be fully enclosed. That would be the only way, that would be the kind of blech that you need for an oven. I have never seen one in my life. I assume they do not sell them. I am sure that if you're willing to pay somebody, some tinsmith somewhere, he'll be happy to make it for you, and you would be able to have a blech for your oven. But until you do that, you will not be able to leave foods lechatchila at all in your oven, or mikar hadin, even when mikar hadin, of course, you can leave foods without a blech once it's machal ben jesai, but if it's less than machal ben jesai, you will need that blech, even mikar hadin. Next week, we're going to talk about could you put a hot water urn up right before Shabbos, or do you have to wait for the water to boil before Shabbos? And then we're going to introduce the world of Chazara, which is going to be very important, talking about taking food off the flame and back, putting it back on the flame, taking crockpots off Friday night, putting them back on, and most importantly, could you take food out of the fridge and put it onto your blechs or put it onto your hot plates on Shabbos? That will be next week and the following week.